Number 11, if you're there, we have recorded for us in the Word of God in Hebrews 11 an amazing record that God has given to us of folks who have lived by faith. And God has given us so many different examples of those who have gone on before us, and this is what they've done. They lived triumphantly by faith. We've seen two records up to this point as we're looking at our theme for this year, Faithful Christianity. And now we're coming to a third record that we're going to notice this morning that the penman submits for you and I to examine. You remember, biblical faith is defined this way, is defined as looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith. That's found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Now, Hebrews 11, 1 is really a description of faith. Hebrews 12, 2 is the definition. And there's these Hebrew Christians to whom the writer is writing desperately needed to do this. They needed to continue in the faith that was delivered to them. They needed to continue in the faith. And I say this is the way it is for you and I as well as Christians in our day. We need to continue in the faith that's been delivered to us. We must be faithful Christians if we are going to please God. And so let's look here and let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6 and verse number 7. And then we'll have a word of prayer if you have your Bibles open. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now notice the record in verse number 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." I want you to understand that Noah here is the generational link in the family of biblical faith. And I want you to think of that for just a moment. The generational link of the family of faith. As I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, you realize this, Christian, you are the generational link of the family of faith today. What did Noah do? Noah believed God. Noah feared God. Noah obeyed God. Noah waited upon God. And in doing all of that, Noah, guess what? Glorified God. Just like Enoch, we could speak of so many different areas of faith, the faith life, but I want us to consider Noah's example this morning of faithful service. Faithful service. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this record you've given to us. And Lord, there's so much that we do in the way to serve you as Christians. I pray, Lord, that when we serve, it is faithful service. Father, help us, Lord, to be full of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here this day that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that today would be the day that they repent of their sin and by faith trust in Him. Lord, would you direct our hearts and direct our lives this day? Father, help us to look to Jesus. Help us to look to Thy holy Word. Help us to walk according to Thy ways. Father, I pray we be challenged by Thy Word. Lord, I pray there wouldn't be any hindrances here this morning. No distractions, as was said already this morning. Father, help us to just focus on what You have for us this day. And Lord, we just love You. We thank You. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. I'll be continuing the series on Jonah. Maybe, perhaps, you don't normally come to the Sunday evening services. Let me encourage you to come back. It's been fun. We've been stepping through the life of Jonah and the book of Jonah, and I want to encourage you, come back for the p.m. service. You'll understand when you leave after the evening service that it didn't hurt you any to be here. In fact, it was a good thing. And so I just want to encourage you in that way. You know, the necessity of faith in the life of the Christian, it cannot be overstated. You might think, Pastor James, you've been preaching about this for so many Sundays now. Friend, can I tell you that the faith life cannot be overstated? It is the root It is the ground. It is the foundation by which we propel forward. In fact, all that we do should be in faith. It should be in faith. In other words, in looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Word of God says this. This is how important it is. In Romans 1:23, listen, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so if we're acting in a way or living out our lives in a way not looking unto Jesus, then that means this, that we're in sin as Christians. And so, in other words, in all points, in all areas of life, we are to be looking to our all-wise Creator and Savior. Romans 14:8 says it this way, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, guess what? We are the Lord's. And I pray it is that we're getting this idea, this biblical truth, that God is emphasizing that you and I are to live consciously in His presence. In other words, as we live and move day to day, guess what? We're walking before our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We're walking before Him in His presence. This matter of this crucial necessity of faith is given in this illustration. Imagine if you were in the middle of a lake and there's two rowboats. You have 1 foot in one rowboat, 1 foot in another rowboat. The one rowboat has holes in it and is beginning to sink. You might say that is the rowboat of self. And the other rowboat representing Jesus Christ is the rowboat that does not have any holes in it whatsoever. You'll understand that if you are to keep your feet in both of those rowboats, you are going to sink and fall into that lake. In other words, you can't have 1 foot in self and 1 foot in Jesus and still think everything's going to be okay. No, the only proper thing to do would be what every Christian should do and say, I'm going to put both my feet in where Jesus is. I'm going to set my life in such a way where I'm going to follow after Christ no matter what. We realize this, Abel from the very beginning demonstrated really a first record of faith following Adam and Eve. And then down the line, the seventh from Adam, his name is Enoch. He demonstrated a life of faith. That record is vitally important, and this record is vitally important as well. Did you know this, that the Lord Jesus Himself references this record of Noah specifically for you and I in our day to pay attention to as Christians? He says this in Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So what do we see in this life in the record of Noah? We see a picture of faithful service. Notice with me, I'm going to give you several points, if you'll write these down, about Noah's life of faithful service. If you'll write these down, number one, Noah's faithful service was first of all rooted in a relationship with God. His life was rooted in a relationship with God. The writer here in Hebrews sums up the truth concerning Noah and his actions. He informs us that Noah was warned of God. Now, I want you to think of that. That presupposes that Noah had a relationship with God. In fact, take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter number 6 for just a moment here. If you'll look here in Genesis 6 and maybe hold your place back there in Hebrews chapter 11, I'll give you a minute to turn there. I want you to notice in verse number 9, once you get there, the record concerning Noah, the fact that he was rooted in a relationship with God. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You know, there are several truths that are mentioned here in just this one verse about Noah's relationship. First of all, we understand this, according to the Scriptures, that Noah was just. Now, justification is a legal term which means to be declared righteous. That's what justification is. And in our text in Hebrews 11:7, the Bible declares that Noah was an heir or a recipient of the righteousness which is by faith. In other words, his righteousness before God was the fruit of his faith in God. Service to God, by the way, can only be acceptable unto God following a relationship with God. And a relationship to God can only take place by God's grace through faith. So many people in this world are trying to exercise service towards God without a relationship with God. Those who are lost in trespasses and sins oftentimes think this: they can believe, they can serve enough to make themselves right with God. You'll see it all the time amongst the church family. Some will come in and they'll continue to serve and serve and serve and serve, and they believe by their service they're making themselves right with God. And can I tell you, that's not the case. I know I ask the question often, and I'm going to ask it again. Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Listen, the example of Noah in the Word of God ought to show us that this is not the case, that we can work our way to heaven. Before God asked Noah to do anything at all, the Bible declares that he was a just man, a saved man. And I have that question for you. Are you a child of God? You cannot serve God until you deal with your separation from God because of your sin. Noah here is called a just man, but notice this also: Noah was perfect in his generations. What a challenging statement to every Christian that is here this morning. Now, you and I are told specifically that we're not to compare ourselves with each other. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that if we compare ourselves among ourselves, it is unwise. But this is not what the Scriptures are telling us here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. This is not what the Lord is telling us. Noah didn't compare himself with the rest of the world, but notice this: God is comparing Noah with the rest of the world. And did you know this, that if we're to render any kind of service to God, we must walk rightly before Him? This comment by the Holy Spirit is declaring to you and I that we cannot use the excuse of a lack of our holy living because of the world in which we live in is a wicked world. And so often it is the case that you and I will try to make up for our unholy living by, guess what, trying to serve more. And so we'll try and get involved more to make up for maybe a lack of obedience to the Lord, thinking that's going to smooth things over with God. Friends, can I tell you that you must confess your sins to the Lord? You must be right with God if you're going to serve Him in any faithful capacity. Not only was Noah perfect in his generations, not only was Noah just, but then we see this in this one statement in verse number 9, Noah walked with God. You know, two men before the flood are mentioned in the Scriptures and declared as having walked with God. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, walked with God. It was not, for God took him. And then we see here, Noah also walked with God. How did Noah know that judgment was coming? Well, we see here that Noah had a relationship with God. A faithful servant is one who's saved by God's grace through faith. He is a just man. A faithful servant is one who's not defined by the culture of wickedness around him. And we see a faithful servant will hear from God and know truth because he walks with God. But secondly, I want us to know this about Noah's faithful service. Not only was it rooted in a relationship, but notice this secondly, it was in response, in reverence to God. It was in response, in reverence to God. You know this, that Noah had a reverential fear of the Lord. What does that mean exactly for you and I to fear God? Sometimes we get this idea that we're to be hiding from God, that kind of fear, as if you're fleeing from danger. That's not the kind of fear we're speaking about. What we're speaking about is often seen in human relationships, somewhat in dealing with reverential fear. we might think of the kind of fear that we had towards our mothers and fathers, and that kind of reverential fear. Listen, they loved you and you loved them, and you weren't afraid to go to them, but you had a reverential fear because of who they are. They are your parents, and the same holds true. And how much more should it be for you and I in reverential fear to God the Father and God the Son, our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and having reverential fear to God the Holy Spirit. You see, our service to the Lord, if it's going to be full of faith, must be in response to our worship, our reverential worship of the Lord Jesus. There's a reason why we saw worship in the first account in Hebrews chapter number 11. God had a purpose in showing that to us first before we see this matter of service. And so notice with me in Genesis 6, as you're still there, in verse number 11, I want you to see what's going on here in this text. This is the comment, and God speaking. The Bible says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now notice his instructions clearly. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." Here God gives instructions to Noah, and he tells them exactly the right size. If you'll remember that cubic stick that I brought out before, he was to measure it by a cubit. And I have this question. Do you think that Noah feared and respected the words of God? Do you believe that Noah believed what the Lord was saying and he feared him? Well, here the Lord tells Noah, "I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to destroy those who have rejected me." He tells Noah, "I want you to build this ark, and I want you to build it 450 feet in length. I want you to build it 75 feet in width. I want you to build it roughly 45 feet tall." Do you realize that's almost 4.5 stories of height that God is telling Noah to build this ark? If it was a royal cubit, it would have been taller even than that. It would have been 51 feet in height. Wow, what a structure. Just to give you an idea of the size of this boat that God is asking Noah to build, if you were to imagine in your mind 1.5 football fields in length, that would be the length of the ark that God is asking Noah to build. Now look back in our verse in Hebrews chapter number 11. Go back to Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. It says this, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God," now notice this phrase, "of things not seen as yet." Now there's a lot of debate here concerning this phrase in Hebrews 11, 7, as to exactly what this means. Some would say that it was that rain never fell from the sky, and we don't know whether or not that's exactly the case. But one thing we do know for sure, there had never been a catastrophic flood like which was about to take place. In other words, this was a world-changing event. The flood of which the Lord speaks in Genesis 6:17 was something the world had never, ever seen before. Now, we can look out through the lens of history and understand a little of what's coming when the meteorologist mentions the word hurricane. I think that was mentioned this morning. And listen, when you watch the news and you hear the word hurricane, you may have an idea of what that is coming maybe towards us or towards someone else. How many would say amen to this? You understand what it means when the weatherman says there's a snowstorm coming. How many understand that? Amen. You understand that a little bit better now here in North Carolina. My wife and I just brought out our stuff. We had our stuff from bringing in upstate New York, no problem. We brought out all our shovels and gears, but we noticed this, that our neighbors across the street were using a regular shovel. That's all they had. But listen, we were prepared, but you have an understanding now of what it means when a snowstorm is coming your way. But understand this, Noah had to respond in reverence to Almighty God by faith as something, the Bible says, was not seen as yet. It was something he did not know. It was something he had not seen. We might ask ourselves the question this morning concerning our service to the Lord as well. Is your service to the Lord a response of faith in His holy word? Or are we just trying to get something from God? You know, we live in a quid pro quo type society today where it's a this for that kind of a relationship. And oftentimes, I'm sad to say that many Christians are saying this, I'm going to serve the Lord because of what I can get from the Lord. Or are we serving the Lord out of reverential faith based on what we find in the Word of God? In other words, is our service to the Lord because we believe God and because we fear Him? Or are we just doing what we've always done and have lost sight of the purpose behind what we're doing? Friends, what is the why behind your do? What is the why behind your do? Why do you do what you do? You know, I think it's good for every Christian before they come into the church house to ask the question, why am I coming to the church house? I believe if you can answer that question, that it won't be an issue as to whether or not you come to the church house. If you have a right biblical understanding as to why you're coming to the church house. And so often it is that we get a form of religion, but we deny the power thereof. Why? Because we're just doing things without understanding why it is that we're doing what we are doing. Friends, can I tell you that you need to know the why behind your do? You need to operate in reverential fear towards God. If you're going to have faithful service, if you're going to have the kind of service that God is pleased with, that He looks at and says, yes, that's my servant, it has to be faithful service. Noah had a relationship with God, therefore he was a faithful witness, and his service was in response to his reverence of God. But notice thirdly, Noah rested in the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us here in Hebrews 11 and verse number 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, notice what it says here, and prepared an ark. I wonder how hard it was for Noah to work and to build that ark. Now, my wife and I have had the privilege of going out to Kentucky and seeing a life-size ark that is built by man in our day, and whether or not it looked exactly like that or not, one thing it does show you, it shows you the magnificent size of that structure is unbelievable. And I wonder this, how hard was it for Noah to work and to build this ark? I wonder how much ridicule did Noah suffer and how much scoffing came Noah's way as he built this ark and as he preached righteousness. I wonder how many tried perhaps to hinder Noah as he preached righteousness for 120 years. I wonder how many days did Noah have to just get up and remind himself, God's told me that judgment is coming. God has warned me and told me that judgment is coming. I'll tell you this much, Noah had to daily rest in the righteousness of God. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you resting in the righteousness of God, the right ways of God daily? Are you walking in His ways daily, the right ways of God? Are you resting in His ways? You say, what is it going to take to service the Lord being full of faith? Friend, you must live in the right ways of God. And Noah rested in the righteousness of God. Are you willing to pay the price of obedience to the Lord daily? Your entire life to be service to Him? Friends, Noah rested in the righteousness of God. We see the wonderful result of this kind of faith. You say, what was that? Well, number four, if you're writing notes, Noah rescued the remnant of the godly. Noah rescued the remnant of the godly. You know, in the days of Noah, the Bible tells us that Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 tells us of his righteous preaching. But then in Genesis 6:3, the Bible says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now that is 120 years, I believe, till judgment. Noah, not only through his service, but through his testimony, those many years, preached righteousness to the lost world that was around him. I can imagine when the day of judgment came and when God told Noah to go up into the ark, and when, by the way, God shut him into the ark, I can imagine as he went in, what a sad sight it was indeed for Noah, for it was only Noah and his sons and their wives that entered into the ark. Friend, I don't know about you, but can you imagine preaching for 120 years and having that kind of response? And here Noah is rescuing the remnant, but thank the Lord for the remnant of the godly. What would have happened if Noah had not completed the ark? Just imagine for a moment if Noah had said, you know what? I'm just tired. I'm just tired of this. What if Noah had said just this? I'm tired of those making fun of me. I'm tired of being the only one to stand for truth. I'm tired of being the only one that's full of faith. I'm just going to quit on what I'm doing. You know, there's eight people. From those eight people that came out of the ark is the entire table of nations. And what that means, in other words, is the fact that you're sitting in the pew today. The fact that you are here at this church house today is because Noah did not give up. Noah continued in faith, full service. Do you know this, that even the greater is the fact that Jesus Christ is a direct descendant of Noah himself? Luke 3:36, we read this, in the line of Christ, these words, it says, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech. I understand God always has a way, even in spite of man, but realize that because of Noah's service, we find humanity continuing in the book of Genesis and later on in the line of Christ through the lineage of guess who? Noah. But lastly, I want you to realize this, the importance of faithful service to the Lord. Noah's faithful service did this. It repeated the reliable path to God. It repeated the reliable path to God. Just like Enoch in the Genesis record, we discover this truth that Noah walked with God. 2 Peter 1:19 and 20 through 21 says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Can I declare to you this morning that this Bible, the Word of God, this Bible that you and I hold, declares to us the reliable path to God. The Word of God declares to you and I the only reliable path to God. As we close, could I ask this question? Are you repeating in your life, by how you live, by how you serve the Lord, a reliable path to God? You see, we have Noah's record here given to us in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us in Romans 15:4 that these things, whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for this purpose, for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. But I wonder, are we transferring that example of faith to the generations that are coming behind us? You know, so many churches, if you go into them, there's a generational gap that exists in those churches. Why is that? Friends, there's only one way, and that's transferring generationally this walk of faith, this body of truth, from one generation to the next. And by the way, can I say that doesn't happen on accident? It happens on purpose, and it begins first, by the way, in the home. It begins first in the home. It should be repeated in the church house. Then I believe this, it should be in the life of every Christian. Are we serving the Lord in such a way that those who are going to come behind us are learning that we trusted in the Lord through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, and that because of that we have great hope? Is that what the folks behind us are seeing? Is that what young Mason, as he grows up, is he going to see a mom and dad that generationally serve the Lord in a faithful way? It's a heavy weight, isn't it, as you think of it? I'm afraid as we look around today, there certainly is a generational gap of faith. Enoch walked with God. Think of it. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And then generationally down from that, we have his great-grandson, Noah, who walked with God, a generational passing on of faith from one generation to the next, a standing for faith, a worship of faith, a giving of faith, a service of faith, a generational handing off from one group to the next. And Abraham, we'll see, walked with God on down the generational line. And the question I have for is this: how is your service to the Lord? What's the why behind your do, friend? Why are you coming to the house of the Lord? Why do we serve as ushers? Why do we serve in the van ministry? Why do we serve in teaching young kids in the Sunday school classrooms and in the adult church classes? Why do we do these things? Why do I stand up and preach the gospel? What's the why behind my do? Is it a faithful service? Well, we see this, that Noah's service, first of all, was rooted in a relationship with God. Friend, can I ask you, are you born again? Are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus is your Savior and heaven's your home? Do you have a relationship with God? You cannot serve God in a faithful manner without being rooted in a relationship to God. Secondly, we see his service was in a rightful response in reverence to God. How do you come to that place of reverence to God, you might be thinking? By getting in this book right here. You see, your vision of God will be determined by what you discover about God in his Word. You say, I don't have any reverence for God. Maybe it's because you haven't spent time in this book. Maybe it is because you haven't obeyed what God's already revealed to you out of this book. Friends, our service must be in a rightful response and reverence to God. But thirdly, we understand that Noah had to rest in the righteousness of God. Friend, are you resting and walking in his right ways? Are you resting in that daily? Is that the direction of your life? Are you stepping daily in the right ways of God, the righteousness of God? But then I think number four, we see Noah's faithful service, listen carefully, rescued the remnant of the godly. I'm speaking to parents really directly right now. Listen carefully. Your children are going to make a determination of whether or not your faith is real. Your teenagers are going to make a determination of whether or not your faith is real. What are they going to look at? Oh, they're going to look at and see if mom and dad decides it's important enough to come to Sunday school. Oh, they're going to look at if mom and dad really believes God and opens up the Word of God. Oh, they're going to look at and discover how many times it is that mom and dad actually bends the knee and prays. And friends, I'm just going to tell you, they're going to make a determination. My question is your in your service, if it's faithful, is it going to rescue the remnant of the godly? I realize you could do all the right things raising your children. You give them the Word of God. You could have personal time with them and investing the Word of God, and they could choose to turn from God. That's happened. But listen, I'm telling you, you better ought to do everything you can, everything in your power, to raise those children under the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that perhaps you rescue the remnant of the godly as well. And then lastly, could I say this? Are you repeating through your life the reliable path to God? When someone sees you, do they see you walking according to this book, God's holy word? Are you repeating by your life of service the reliable path to God? Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this record that we have here of Noah, a man who displayed faithful service. Can imagine, Lord, I can't imagine reading the record that you've given to us. A man who preached righteousness for 120 years and yet next to no one listens. Lord, I can't imagine in my heart building an ark of the size that you asked Noah to build, how challenging that must have been day by day. Father, I pray, Lord, that example that you've given to us, you gave us record of it. Lord, I pray we'd be challenged of that. Father, that we would not just come and go through the motions or fake the Christian life. Lord, would you challenge us to be faithful Christians in our areas of service? Father, everything I do, I pray it would be by faith. Lord, I pray for the Christians that are here this morning that everything that they do would be by faith. But Lord, I pray especially for the parents that are here. Father, the challenge that you've given to them, the privilege really to raise those children that you've given to them. Father, would you help them to serve you in a faithful manner? So much so, Father, I pray that not one child or young person or teenager that's here at Liberty Baptist Church would step out of their home and turn away from you. I pray it is that they would have a lifelong testimony of parents that walk by faith. Lord, would you challenge us in these areas? Lastly, I pray this, Lord, if there's someone here this day that is not rooted in a relationship with you, Lord, they just have a form of Christianity, but really it's an empty Christianity. I pray, Father, that they get that right today. Lord, would you give them courage? I pray you give them courage. Take a step of faith. Come forward and say, I want to trust in Christ. I want to trust in Jesus. I want to have a faithful relationship with God. Lord, I pray you would encourage them, Lord, and that they would make that right choice to step and come to this altar and pray. Father, however it is that you've challenged our hearts this morning, Lord, I pray we do business with you in these few minutes. Father, that you'd be pleased as we yield ourselves to you and to thy word. Lord, I pray and ask these things in your name. Amen. As you stand to your feet, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano begins to play. I wonder, are you serving the Lord in a faithful way?